Okay, we just need to get to the water park without having an accident.
Give it back.
Mom, Bobby took my iPad. Stop touching me.
If you can relate, then we recommend a visit to your local Audio Express.
At Audio Express, we carry everything needed to quiet down the kids on those quick trips around town and those long out-of-town road trips.
Like our top-selling 11.2-inch drop-down screen with built-in DVD and matching headphones, now just $199.
Or step up to our big 13.2-inch drop-down. You save a whopping $200 when you take advantage of our new limited-time low price of just $399.
How about a new Kenwood stereo with all the latest features like Bluetooth, music streaming, and satellite radio inputs starting as low as $159 installed.
I am so glad I went to Audio Express. The kids are so happy, and I love my new sound and features.
See our ad in the Riverfront Times and check out AudioExpress.com for special web-only coupons on the location nearest you.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Great choice.
Is this 91, you think?
I don't know the years.
Great, I think song. It's pretty easy to be lovers if you can't be friends.
You've been lovers with people that you weren't friends with?
Haven't we all?
I don't know about that.
Usually starts as a friendship, Doug, and then it blossoms into something more.
I like that we're blasting the audio. Thank you. I enjoy it. Kind of drives home to the audience that we're on board with how can we be lovers if we can't be friends? How can we start over when the fighting never ends? And these are both rhetorical, but still, they kind of give you a zen-like clarity in which you go, yeah, you know what? How can we start over if we're going to continue to fight? Let's not say we're going to start over
right. If
we're going to continue to argue. We have to move past the fact that you slept with three members of the 1998 Bulls. If we can't, we're not going to be able to be friends. And therefore, based on the first premise, we cannot be lovers.
Pippen, Will Perdue, B.J. Armstrong?
That's actually true.
I think B.J. Armstrong was on the first three-peat, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it was at the parade. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is the Tees Farms 9 o'clock hour. They are the official shrub sponsor of this award-winning radio presentation. We advocate your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Send your emails into the radio program. We are really looking forward to our next guest. He's going to join us on the appliance discounter phone lines. Ryan Leith, considered one of the great college quarterbacks, and then also considered one of the biggest busts in NFL draft history, and has lived quite a life over the last two decades. But to his credit, he is now clean and sober for 4 years, and he is very proud to be the program ambassador for Transcend Recovery Community, and he is with us right now to talk it all over. It is our pleasure to welcome to the Appliance Discounter phone lines Ryan Leith. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
We are doing very, very good. I've listened to some of the interviews that you have been doing. I've read about what's going on, and you just seem to be in perhaps as good of a place as you've been in your entire life. I don't know if that's a fair characterization, because maybe you'd go, no, the mid-90s were about as good as it gets. But how would you characterize where you are at this point in 2016?
I think that, that's great, but it's kind of irrelevant for what I'm trying to do. And because I think a lot of times when people are out there speaking or talking, it has a lot to do with themselves, and I was even caught up in that before. But if I always remember when I'm speaking to young adults or men and women that I take myself out of the equation, it usually makes me feel better because I'm being of service, and that was something I had never been my whole life.
What is it that got you turned around? Was there a one particular incident or something that that got you going on the straight and narrow?
Well, I think prison. I mean, I think that that had a large impact on me, one that I was at the moment, not very happy about. Of course, I still was kind of playing the victim and blaming others for my actions, and wasn't taking any accountability for what I was doing. And it was probably the first time I had ever felt marginalized, where, you know, the judge just said, "We don't think you have any value to society. We're going to warehouse you. You are now a number." And I allowed that to kind of consume me for quite a while I was in there. And luckily enough, I had a great roommate at one point that just kind of, you know, yelled at me and told me to get my head out of the sand, and read a couple books, Unbroken, the book on Louis Zamperini, and those types of things that kind of motivated me and had me asking those existential questions while you're in there. What is it really all about? And I got the great opportunity when I got out to work for a company like Transcend, which preaches those values of accountability, spirituality, and community. And I didn't have any accountability. I was accountable to no one and nothing. I had no spirituality. In fact, I probably thought I was a god. And I had no community. Simply, I would just disappear for months on end and take pills. And now I'm surrounded by people who unconditionally love me and want to help others. And that keeps me in the service side of things. So, yeah.
And Ryan, do you think what happened in your NFL career, was that, I mean, was it 100% due to off the field things, or was it also just about getting there and maybe you got there and you couldn't have the success that you had in college? Or do you think that most of that was because of what you were doing off the field?
Well, yeah, I'd like to blame my poor play on substance abuse, but I can't. I simply just didn't start using drugs until after I had retired. So for me, I was a drug addict long before I ever took a drug. In that, I mean, I behaved as such. So now that I know what an addict behaves like, I behaved like one probably starting at 12 years old when I first got placed on a pedestal because I could throw a football. And things always came pretty easy to me. You know, don't get me wrong, I worked very hard to get to the NFL. But when I got there and when criticism and failure started to happen, I wasn't vulnerable or open enough to ask for the help that I needed. And it was my downfall. I just simply pushed rather than absorbed. And that was the reason why I just kept going down the wrong path in my NFL career.
And people throw out that term bust. To me, that's, you know, obviously also all about expectations. If you were a guy who was undrafted or a seventh round pick and you played 4 years in the NFL, I think most people would look at that as a success. But when you have the high expectations from a high draft pick, that's obviously much different. How do you view that? Because even though you didn't have the success that you wanted in the NFL, you still got to be an NFL quarterback. There's only 32 starters out there. How do you kind of look at your career?
I look at my career as a failure. I do. Because of those things, people had many expectations of me. My expectations were through the roof. So, but that consumed me for so long. And in the end, it really is meaningless. I mean, it was a 6-year part of my life. I just turned 40. I have another, hopefully 40, 50 more. So, I sat in that for a long time, and it's just a moment. It was a big moment, but today I'm in another one. And I'll probably be honest with you here that if I had won, you know, 2 Super Bowls and had a successful football career, I don't know if I would have the impact on somebody, another human being, the way I do now. I just believe I'm more relatable, and that's makes me feel more like a human being, to be honest.
How are you received when you talk to people and tell them your story?
Well, I think that, you know, I haven't talked publicly a lot about my career, about my shortcomings. So when I do, I think it takes some people aback, like they weren't expecting that because of the perception of who I am that's out there, and that's very brash and arrogant and probably mean. And, you know, those are
those are behavioral changes that come over time. It just took me a lot longer. And so when I do it now, I think it's well received, but that's not necessarily the point. I'm there to tell my story, and what anybody can take away from that to help them move forward. That's the objective, not to go, hey, everybody, look how good I'm doing. That's just not, I can't think about it in those terms anymore.
And Ryan, when you see or read about some of the things Johnny Manziel is going through and putting himself through, anything mimic what you were going through, and what would you, you know, advice would you give him, or have you tried to reach out to him to try and help him with what he's going through?
Yeah, anybody who's struggling, especially in such a public forum, of course I'd reach out to them and try to offer them any help I can, because a lot of times when I see behavior like that, and in other people, to me, it's like holding up a mirror a lot of times, because we all behave the same way when we're having those types of issues. And it's very relatable for me. And so, yeah, my hope is that there'll be a surrender and some acceptance on his part. And my sponsor always tells me that once we get this figured out, we're the lighthouse. You don't see lighthouses running around the harbor looking for boats. They come to you because they want what you have. And that's, in my case, peace and a non-chaotic life, which are two things that just never existed for me. I mean, I feel like created chaos, and that's the difference.
You say you created it. You think some of that was because of how good you were as a kid and growing up and in college and everybody giving you anything you wanted and telling you how great you were, and then maybe you just don't have any boundaries?
Yeah, it's a fine-edged sword on that. I don't think I get out of Montana and I am so successful in college and get to the NFL if I don't have that edge to me. Yet, if you're not able to balance it the right way, you see how things fall apart. I mean, it's not a unusual story to see a successful athlete rise to amazing heights and then stumble. It happens all the time because I don't think you really develop the life skills that others do until those falls happen. And once they do, you're very grateful for them. You're resentful at first, of course, like everybody. But I think when you come to accept that I'm grateful that I went to prison, I'm grateful that I'm a drug addict, I'm grateful that I get this opportunity, it makes you a better person because you have a completely different perspective on what being a human being is and how to interact with one another.
Ryan Leaf, kind enough to join us here on the Appliances Counter phone lines. He is with us on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. And he's the program ambassador for Transcend Recovery Community. I oftentimes hear from people who have battled what you have battled, Ryan, say that, you know, the proverbial phrase is it's one day at a time, or some will say every day is a struggle. Is every day a battle for you? How would you characterize things now as far as that goes?
I wouldn't maybe characterize it as that. It is a day by day thing for me. And I think it's a guide to living for anybody to really work on day to day how you can become a better person. And for me, that's doing the little things. And that's, you know, being still, meditating, praying, being active, being of service, seeking help, seeing therapists. I mean, I do all the things that are necessary. It's a 180-degree lifestyle change for me, completely contrary action in everywhere I step. I got people that I trust, who I know really care for me and have my best interests, and I listen to them. I don't know if I ever really listened to anybody else but myself. Which got me in trouble. So I listen to people who are smarter than me. And I try to then, after learning these things and having had a spiritual awakening, I carry this to other alcoholics, addicts, people with mental health disorders, so they can have a peaceful and non-chaotic life like me. And that's my hope.
Well, it seems to me that it's an awfully nice legacy to have, that after a guy having some early problems, you've come back and now devoted yourself to helping other people. So that has to make you feel pretty good about the way your life has changed.
It is. It's difficult. You know, I've been working with young men in recovery, and just in the past, you know, 2 months, there's been three of them who have passed away. So, I mean, this is a very serious disease, and I get frustrated at times because it doesn't seem like they can surrender. Their pride just holds on to them, and then they lose their life, and they're so young. And I really believe and have seen how precious a life is now. So it takes a toll, but I know that what I'm doing in this moment is what I can control. And I think that's important to remember and have perspective on, that you only can control your part of it. Just like my NFL career, I think that I could have blamed a lot of other people. But what part did I have in all that? And if I continue to look at things that way, on what part I had in it, accountability wise, I think that I'm going to be okay when it comes to things happening like that. It's just frustrating and sad.
You know, I said before the end of our 8 o'clock hour here locally that Ryan has a book, because I just assumed that we were having you on and you were promoting a book, which is standard operating procedure. But you did write a book, but it's not why you're on. You're doing this because this is what you do now, and it's not necessarily even like a job so much as it feels like it's just what you want to do to try to help people. In other words, the motives are pure, it seems. And I realize that's an awkward thing perhaps to say, but I think it's, if anything, it's a tribute.
I think so too. I think I did this. I got sober in 2008, and I got out to the public too quick, and somebody came to me pitching to sell a book, and I did it. And then while I was out there, I was pitching something. I was selling myself as this brand, and I'm not that. I hate that word brand. I'm the program ambassador for Transcend Recovery Community, and our goal is to help people help themselves. I mean, that's it. So by doing this, and not only by myself doing this, but by you guys having me on your show to talk about things that have a stigma in this country and are hard to look at, essentially, you guys have a big part in helping saving lives, because somebody might hear me on the radio, relate to something, and finally have the strength, encouraged to ask for help. And that is such a huge step, and was such a difficult one for me to take that step.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, Ryan. Ryan Leaf's our guest. If there is somebody, and I would imagine there actually is, and probably more than one person, listening to this right now, hearing your voice, being familiar at the very least with your story, the rise, the fall, and now overcoming what you overcame, what step would you advocate someone taking if they are in that position right now?
Well, call us or reach out to us on our website, transcendrc.com, and it's important that you know that you don't have to do this alone, that there are so many people who care about you. I care about you because I know what this struggle is like, and there's a solution. It just a lot of times takes somebody else to intervene, because you just can't do it because it's got such a hold on you. I simply couldn't. The authorities had to intervene with me. Otherwise, I was going to die, and I was going to ruin people's lives. And I can be that guy. I can point you in the right direction. You won't believe the outreach that we've had by doing some of this media over the last month and a half of people reaching out to not only our facility, but our ability to reach out to other facilities if somebody else needs some different standard of care. We're not in the business of just like trying to make it work here. If somebody needs a standard of care that we just can't coordinate for them, we'll find a way to do so. And it's been amazing to see and hear and get some letters from wives, mothers, brothers, people we've helped that are taking that step, because, boy, you know, being vulnerable is not a weakness. It is absolutely the biggest strength, and asking for help can only lead to greater things.
TranscendRC.com. If you were one of those people who believe you could be assisted by what Ryan is talking about with being the program ambassador for Transcend Recovery, TranscendRC.com is the place you can go. Ryan, what an incredible story, and we certainly appreciate you coming on our show and sharing it and advocating for your cause. We really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
No problem, guys. Got me up early. I love it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Ryan.
There he is, Ryan Leaf, with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Yeah, the reason I brought that up, that he wasn't pushing a book, which is totally cool. That's the game when you know, are operating a business and having to promote for said business. So there's nothing wrong with it. But in other words, he's just doing this because this is what he does now.
Mm-hmm.
There was no promotion really outside of Transcend Recovery, but he said, you know, if you want to go somewhere else, go somewhere else. It's just, I know I can help.
Yeah, it's great to see him doing better now and making a difference in people's lives. He had a rough go there. I mean, think of the psychological game against you when you're coming out of college as this first team All-American and the decision that every sports fan is talking about, do you draft Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf? It could go either way. Coin flip. They're both going to be great. One guy goes on to be perhaps the greatest quarterback in the history of the league, and the other guy can't make it at all. And he's got to live with that the rest of his life. Every time you Google Ryan Leaf, you hear, well, the biggest flop in the history of the NFL. That would be hard for anybody. I mean, he made it. Everybody who's played football wants to get there. He did it. And yet the legacy that he has to live with, biggest flop in the history of the league. And it's not going to go away. That's tough. That'd be tough on anybody.
It is tough, but it's also how he dealt with it. If he'd have dealt with it in a better manner, and obviously he's an addict, but he said that came after the fact. I mean,
I'm sure the two are related, probably.
Absolutely. We all remember, though, I mean, he had an incident with a media member where he looked very bad on camera, mm-hmm. kind of like a jerk yelling at someone. So, yeah, even though he was a bust, still getting to the NFL, getting a nice contract, I think if he would have handled it better, obviously, we would look at him differently. You have other guys that are busts that don't have some of these off-the-field problems that they kind of get melded together.
Mm. He didn't have the maturity or the poise to handle it properly. And so that's what tore him apart, I'm sure.
And I think it's the same with Jamarcus Russell. Not to the same extent, but he's also labeled as a huge bust. He's also done some odd things mm-hmm. after the fact with the whole scissorp, and he's seen out with his shirt off partying here and there, and you kind of put the two together. Bad career on the field. And as you said, it's probably certainly related. It's hard to live with the fact, even though you have millions of dollars, that every time you turn on a computer and Google yourself, everybody's hating on
you. And there are other examples of athletes who have had colossally bad things happen to them that have, you know, it's ruined their lives. I mean, look what happened to Bill Buckner after his heir. He had to go in seclusion.
And here's the difference.
Donnie Moore, the old pitcher of the Angels, gives up a game-winning home run.
Yeah. And Bill Buckner was a great baseball player.
He was.
Borderline Hall of Famer, yeah. Whereas everybody remembers him for one error, right. And not the fact that he was this great player for two decades.
Mm-hmm. I know. That would be hard to deal with at any age. And when it's happening to someone like Ryan Leaf, you're dealing with it when you're 22, 23. That's hard. There's not a whole lot of guys that could deal with it and come out of that unscathed.
And it's worse now with social media.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now everybody's had an opinion. Now he'd have, a billion people ripping him because he's not as good a quarterback as they thought he was going to be.
And the things these anonymous people say on Twitter to these athletes after they have their bad moment
mm-hmm.
sometimes is just disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I hope Ryan Leaf can shake it. He can, 'cause right now when you think Ryan Leaf, you think, oh, huge bust. And it would be nice for people to be able to think, oh, Ryan Leaf, he helped save lives.
That's great. I was very impressed by that interview. Mm-hmm. It seems like that he really has turned himself around. And, yeah. it wasn't easy. He went through the addiction. He had, you know, the issue with pills, went to prison. I mean, it's been a long road. Mm-hmm. If he said he got sober in 2008, he was drafted, what, 1998,
mm-hmm.
1997?
Right.
Says the most vivid image of the day he was, I'm reading the story in the New York Daily News, the most vivid image of the day he was selected number two behind Peyton Manning is of his grandfather. He was always so proud of me. He used to wear a hat that said, I'm Ryan Leaf's grandpa. Yellowed headlines still hail Leaf as San Diego's savior, if you recall that, to think that, but that's what it was. But there is little to revel in when reviewing Leaf's time in the NFL. And you're right, Charlie. I mean, when you get drafted and then you're up against one of the all-time greats, that only further exacerbates it. Bill Polian took over the Colts football operations, and he requested the 8 scouts he inherited tell him each of their thoughts on the quarterback conundrum of Manning versus Leaf, and they voted, and it was split 4-4.
God, yeah.
What a defining moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a fantastic college player. Everything that you would want in an NFL quarterback, big, strong, 6'5".
Polian probed deeper. He detected immaturity from Leaf. And Leaf, represented by agent Lee Steinberg, did not show for his scheduled interview with the Colts at the Combine. That's a big tell.
Yeah.
In retrospect, it seems absurd that it was that close, Steinberg says.
It's a huge tell. If you're coming out of college and you want desperately to be the number one pick and you want to do everything right, that would be most people's train of thinking. I want to do everything right here. I don't want to upset anybody or do anything wrong. You tell me to be somewhere, I'm going to be there. And if you got a guy who doesn't share that train of thought, that's a huge red flag.
And it's an easy hindsight pick. But if you do look at Peyton Manning, just at the time, he was also a great quarterback. And you have the pedigree of his dad being a great college quarterback and a pretty darn good NFL quarterback on a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how it'd be relatively easy, though, to go with Peyton Manning if you're tied there in terms of who you think is better.
Oh, yeah.
And guys, discuss Rob Gronkowski and how he is able to party and still be successful in the league. That's from the 314. I don't think anybody in here is coming out against having booze or drugs. I mean, I'm sure Doug probably would, and I understand that. But, you know, just in general, I think it's how you handle it. You know, if you become a slave to anything, it doesn't have to be booze or drugs, even though those are deemed some of the most deviant vices. Maybe gambling, you know, video games. You know, if you just become obsessive about something to the detriment of personal professional life, in his case, it happened to be drugs. But he also said, Charlie, when you asked him if drugs were the reason why, or if that whole thing was the reason why he failed, and he said, I'd love to say that was the reason, but it wasn't, as far as his failure in the NFL goes.
Yeah. So I'm sure there are a ton of athletes in all sports who party way too much. I mean, we saw that with Oscar Tavares. We saw what his outcome was. If you can't hold it together, I mean, bad things are going to happen. Maybe Gronkowski can handle it now. I don't know how much he parties or how much he drinks, but if the stories that you read are true, it might take a year or two off his career, or certainly he wouldn't be as good as he otherwise would have been. Some guys get away with it, and some guys don't.
See, I don't know about that. It seems like Gronk works really, really hard, and he's a crazy partier, and he's all over social media, but he's also probably going to be a Hall of Fame tight end. And that's where, to me, the difference is, it's all about production. Gronk is the best tight end in all of football. If another guy who was a third stringer barely making the team did the same things, there's no chance the guy's even on the team.
I have found, and this is taking it from professional athletics to, you know, personal, but just something really over the last couple of years I can say for me personally that I found that if I know I have something to look forward to, it seems like a really obvious statement, but so now it's kind of how I plan out my life. If I know I have something to look forward to, then it makes going through the hell that I'm going through in that moment worth it, I guess. And then almost like it's a reward. It's a carrot, you know, i.e. my trips to Las Vegas or Miami, whatever the case might be. That for me is the stuff I love. Obviously, other people have their families, their kids. They can't wait for that, whatever it might be. And so I think it's important to distinguish, although we certainly don't have, you know, any of the intel or details or insight on a Ryan Leaf situation versus a Rob Gronkowski. And it speaks to what you just talked about, Charlie, which is how hard he works, but it's not like he's out on a Wednesday during the NFL season getting wasted. A lot of this stuff is, you know, in their bye weeks or on the off season or whatever the case might be, and he enjoys himself, but he still does the job. And if the job isn't getting done because of what the carrot becomes too big, the carrot that gets you fired up, then I believe you become a slave to it, potentially an addict. And I think that's what happened with Ryan Leaf. But yeah, as Ryan Leaf said, his issue wasn't strictly at the time of football drugs. That wasn't the issue.
And partying can be defined differently depending on who's doing it. if you're a football player and you're out and going to the clubs and parties and have a different girl every night, you know, that's not going to ruin your career. If you're drinking, if you're on drugs, that'll have a huge effect. But I think you can do one without the other.
I don't think drinking has a huge effect. And I don't think even pot. I think not most, but we see a lot of NFL players.
You don't
players.
Think drinking too much would have a huge effect?
I don't necessarily know that Rob Gronkowski drinks so much that it affects his career.
I'm assuming he does not.
That's my point.
You couldn't be one of the best
but
players in the league.
There's so many videos. If you Google Gronk, there's so many videos of him partying with his shirt off, dancing. He looks like he's drinking a lot. But again, it seems to happen in the off season, and everybody says he's one of the hardest workers in the weight room, and he's a guy who puts up numbers. I mean, there's a lot of people in the NFL doing some bad stuff. We've seen with some mm-hmm. of the domestic violence. I mean, one of his teammates probably murdered people. So again, we like to joke about Gronk, but hey, he's a young, good-looking dude who's taking advantage of his celebrity and probably hooking up with women and having a good time. I think we'd all do a little bit of that.
And what the NFL player do that tears them up and tears their careers up is pain medication, painkillers, being addicted to that, and not being able to play without them. That kind of ruins your career. Drinking, not so much. If you do it on the weekends and you prepare yourself throughout the week, it's not a big deal. But painkillers and being addicted to that is a huge issue.
And you are therefore an advocate of the legalization of marijuana to deal with the pain. Are you not, Plowshark?
I would absolutely think it would help out a lot as far as
the
addiction.
There was what Real Sports did a story on that?
Yeah, and it was great.
Kyle Turley has been a big speaker about that all across media. Yeah. He was on, I think, mm-hmm. with Frank talking about that a couple months ago.
He's been on this show talking about it.
Guys, planning vacation is as good mentally as the vacation itself. That's from The Hills Have Thighs. Yeah, that's something I stumbled into. I'm sure plenty of people have been doing this forever, but yeah, that's my thing. I don't know. It helps. It's like, okay, this is a living hell, but next Friday I'll be on a flight to wherever, and we'll be all right. Doug, I don't know if you knew this. I don't think you did, but Michael's Flooring Outlet, they have 4 great locations to visit and now a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. I bet you feel stupid for not knowing that.
Oh, no, I know all about that new showroom out in St. Peter's. Boy, what a showroom. They've got lots of flooring out there.
That's right. And what sets them apart, their employees. When you come in, they'll ask questions that others may not, and we'll try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstocked. Michael's is great for everyone. They're perfect for the do-it-yourselfers, but also the contractors. They have 4 locations in St. Charles County, West County, North County, and Darden Prairie, and you can find out about them at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Think local. Think Michael's. michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Michael's Flooring Outlet. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Email today. Coming up, I don't know what Charlie said that pissed this guy off. Johnny Manziel's booze definitely affects his success in the NFL. Chuck, you dumbass. It's in the 618. Did you say otherwise?
I believe I was talking about Gronk.
I don't understand the text.
You said something to the effect that drinking might not affect people.
I'm saying it depends on how much you drink.
Well, obviously.
Johnny Manziel, if you go back to when he was in college, there were people that said this dude is a ticking time bomb when he was first on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And Gronk parties, but he puts up results, and it looks like he doesn't drink to the point that Johnny Manziel right now is drinking and maybe doing drugs. There's a difference. You can go out and get drunk as a football player off season and get up and do your workout.
Yeah, I would assume that you could do that. Over the long haul, I'm sure it would take its toll.
I think guys
a lot of people can
party,
do that when they're 23 or 24 and super athletic specimens to begin with.
That texter says, you were saying booze doesn't affect people, Chuck. That's from the 618.
Of course, if you drink all the time. This, first of all, dumbass who's talking, just think about what people are saying. Of course, if you drink and you're an alcoholic, it's going to affect you. It doesn't seem like Gronk, even though you see a lot of videos out there, it's when he's doing this cruise, it's when he's celebrating after a championship. Do you ever see those types of videos during the season? When, again, everybody says this dude is a weight room monster and is always showing up and is always out there scoring touchdowns.
And even if it's off season, you don't really know if he's plastered or not.
Well, he looks pretty plastered in some of these videos, dancing with his shirt off and twerking and being crazy.
Yeah, well, maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I know that I don't think anybody, after their career was done, would look back and say, yeah, that drinking had no effect on me. I don't think there'd be a lot of people that would say that.
Doug, there's a difference between going out in the off season once or twice a week and having 5 or 6 drinks or 3 drinks than drinking every night. I mean, a lot of athletes go out and have a couple beers. I wouldn't call mm-hmm. that drinking that's going to hurt
them. A couple beers is not going to hurt you, no.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's a difference between that and what Johnny Manziel is doing.
Well, clearly, yeah.
I think most people would understand that.
If you're just talking about a couple beers, I don't think it's even a talking point. I don't if that's all they did, I don't think it's even something that you bring up.
But look how college kids drink. You don't think some of these NFL players, NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey players in the off season, you don't think they go out there and have a darn good time in Las Vegas drinking up a storm?
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
And it's going to be on video. They don't do it every single night.
No, most of them probably not.
Guys, listening to Charlie when he's mad is the best. Thank you. It's from the 314.
Not mad. Yeah. I just hate when people, they just take a small thing of what you say and they try to make it seem like you said something different. Which, again, this is a three-hour show. We have long conversations.
That never happens things like tuna fish sandwiches.
But that's a
joke. Boy, we never do that.
See, look, he takes this stuff personally.
Wasn't
talking about tuna fish. Everybody's laughing, but
I was just pointing out another example of how we take. That's what we do on this show.
Because that's a joke.
We take one small little snippet and we blow it completely out of proportion.
All I'm saying is there's a difference between being an alcoholic and having fun and drinking here and there in, for the most part, a responsible way. And I don't think that hurts your career that much, if at all.
No. Responsible way? No, it wouldn't.
Guys, the only thing getting me through work right now is the fact that I have a honeymoon coming up in August. But after that, God help me.
Oh, boy.
Maybe my suggestion, for the record, is right when you get home, or even on the flight home, book your next trip. We always got the carrot. Just keep putting it out there.
I think if he's not looking forward to getting married, perhaps he's not marrying the right person.
Well, I didn't even take it that way. Maybe that's what you're saying. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Well, he said after that he's not looking forward to anything. You should be looking forward to getting being married. If not, I think you've probably got the wrong person there.
My goal is once per quarter, every 3 months, you need to have something fun to look forward to get you through the tough days at work. And then you do it, you have a great time, you recover, and then you go back and you have something else to look forward to.
That's the move. It really is the move.
I just look forward to darn fine journalism.
That's what that gets me going.
Yeah. 7 days a week if possible. Oop, got that covered.
You just walk off the set after a good sports cast and you say,
throw down the script.
I'll tell you what.
Take my mic off, throw it down.
Yeah. I feel good about myself.
I'm just trying to make it to next Wednesday when I'll be Vegas bound. Tim, what's that sushi place you like? Doug, that's from Stubby Applause.
Okay.
Nobu. At the Hard Rock or at Caesars. Now there's another one there. I like that, but the one that's off the strip is called Kabuto, Doug. It's Kabuto.
Is that where
Neil Cavuto?
Neil Cavuto.
Yeah.
He runs that place?
He does.
It's called
Fox
Kabuto.
News, but wait. Hey, it's Fox News. Hold on a second. Wait. Right. Let's get an argument about it.
Must be inaccurate.
Oh my gosh.
Can't possibly be based on fact.
Nobu.
So Neil Cavuto owns the best sushi place in Vegas.
It's called Kabuto, though.
Well, you know what?
Just changed a word or two for probably trademark reasons.
I like Neil Cavuto, and he's on Fox News. Yeah. There's a lot of people I like on Fox News. I like Shepard Smith. I'm not saying that it's an all-encompassing thing, Doug.
Yeah.
I try to look at every situation reasonably.
All right.
I don't come in with a bias.
Okay.
I like Megyn Kelly.
Guys, I look forward to high-end call girls every other weekend. Thanks.
There you go. Whatever it is.
High-end.
Tim's strategy is solid, but once kids and school schedules come into play, planning these vacays are way hard and increasingly expensive.
Right.
I totally understand. I recognize, once again, has become a theme of this week's programming, that I am on an island.
And then the kids start playing sports, and you go, well, when summer rolls around, we'll be able to go on vacation. No, he's got a tournament that weekend, and no, this one's got this on the weekend after that. And we can't miss now, and then all of a sudden summer's over, and then you can't go on vacation again.
But all of a sudden, the kids are 14, and they don't want to go on family vacation, and all of a sudden, they're off to college, and you won't have that time again. And all of a sudden, you get a little nostalgic and wish, what if we would have gone on these family vacations despite all these games you had?
The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. Are you that dad?
Kind of works that way.
Are you that dad?
Well,
did you become just like him?
I hope not. I was lucky that when my kids were playing sports all the time, my schedule was different. I was able to get to most of the things.
But let me ask you this. You kind of said, okay, we got kids sports and we can't take a vacation. Isn't it pretty fun and rewarding and enjoyable to watch your kids play sports?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like you're working.
No, I wasn't complaining. I'm saying that's what happens. You don't plan a lot because there's the day-to-day activities tend to take up everything, which is fine, but that's just the way it is at a certain point in your life.
But those three sons have brought you constant joy and moments throughout the last, 25-ish years Those are the moments that you'll remember.
There have been a couple moments that were joyful, yeah.
There's lots of them.
Yeah.
When Greg Vaughn got around on that pitch, I remember you came.
He never really got around on one.
He finally hit that double in the left center gap.
Yep.
Well, he was a left-handed hitter. I wanted him to pull the ball.
Yeah, right center gap.
Right.
I'd just like him to really pull the ball. He'd pull one foul. I'd stand on that first base coaching box, waving a dollar bill. Here's your reward if you'll just get around one time and pull the ball.
I think I'm just saying.
Faster than the pitcher.
No.
Just one time in your career. You don't have to get around late.
That's really bad hitting strategy. It really is. It's awful hitting strategy.
Oh, I understand. You got to have
keep
the inside
your hands
out.
Inside.
It's not a nice piece of hitting unless you hit it the opposite field. There's times for that. There's also times to just turn on that fastball and overpower the pitcher and hit it out of the park.
You turn on
pull
the
it.
Mistake.
Here's your reward. That's what I would say. And not even that was enough to get him to pull the baseball.
Your focus is middle away, and if he comes inside, yeah, you're going to turn on it, but you can't focus there. Creates bad habits.
If he was hitting a lot of opposite field doubles to the wall and to the gap, that'd be fine. But it's always a little weak little foul ball to the left side. Well, here's the pitch. Would you get in front of it once? Let's guess fastball just one time. Here's your reward. I'd wave that dollar bill as incentive.
Doug, you should show your kids Javier Baez video. 2-strike approach. Forget about it. Take that hack. And screwdrive yourself in the ground, fall down, but take the hack and don't get cheated.
As a hitter, didn't you ever come up against a pitcher where you're licking your chops? Boy, I can hit this guy. I'm going to hit this just as far as I can hit. Just at one point in your career, didn't you say, I can own this pitcher. He's got nothing. It should come up every now and then.
But you know what?
And when you face that kind of pitcher, you want to hit it out of the park. I would like to go inside out and maybe hit it to the right side.
That's not what I'm
saying.
Nice
piece of hit. Get in front of the ball one time and pull it. Pull it with authority and get out there and drill it. Here's your reward. Not even that was enough.
How many times have you seen a guy, hitters count, 2-0, 3-1, take this massive hack and the ball goes 100 feet foul? What does that do for you?
Well, that doesn't do anything in the moment, but at least it shows that you can get out in front and hit the ball with authority as hard as you can possibly hit it. There are no balls hit any harder than the ones you pull. And we go nuts over the home run to center field, but the ones that guys pull and really jack, those are going farther than the ones hit to center field. The ones that are 2 and 3 decks up high, those go farther than those balls hit to center field that land in the grass.
For the most part,
you never hit the ball harder than when you really get out in front and yank it.
Uh-huh. That power alley, that pull power alley.
A good piece of hitting is a bloop to the opposite field.
Well, okay, but that's not hitting the ball as hard as you can possibly hit it.
Good piece hitting.
Who are the best really hitters good? We've ever seen? Albert Pujols. You ever see him pull the ball? Are you saying, well, it would have been nicer if you could have hit something to right field?
Okay.
Geez, you pulled it. We sure don't want that. Yes, you do. There are times when you want to pull it. And I wanted my son to pull the ball at one time during his career. He started when he was 4. He's still playing today at 20. I don't think I've ever one time seen him really get out in front and pull the ball with authority. Just once. Here's your reward. It has not worked.
Wow. Man.
I don't ask for a lot. Just occasionally have a pitcher you can overpower. Just once in a blue moon would be fine.
You ever show him video of you taking Tom Terrific?
I don't think so. But that was batting practice speed. Nonetheless, there are still pitchers that you say, boy, he's got nothing. This is right up my alley. I'll be able to kill this. That should come up every now and then, shouldn't it?
Now, was your son a good hitter?
He's a pretty good hitter, yeah.
So what are you complaining about?
I wanted to pull the ball every now and then.
So you'd rather have him pull the ball foul and hit $125 than hit $300 with some punch and Judy going the other way?
I don't want any $125 happening, no. I would just like to see him hit the ball as hard as he can sometimes.
If he's a good hitter, what does it matter?
His last year at Slaba, he hit like over $400.
Hey, really?
He did.
He lead the league?
He was like second in the – he was first most of the league, according to the STL Today stats that were on there. He wound up second in the league in St. Louis area his senior year.
Did he play at the UI?
He played freshman and sophomore year and then got cut. He didn't get to take back
but he
practice.
Led.
They had a tryout, and he got three loopy swings in a cage with the coaches not watching and got cut.
That doesn't seem fair.
Huh.
Yeah, he didn't think so either.
A lot of those cuts, they're already predetermined.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think Greg Vaughn's playing in the wiffle ball tournament.
I think he is.
What if we were in the same bracket as Greg Vaughn? Oh, my God. Doug, would you want that? Like Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. playing the king, dude.
I don't think we would match up real well against his team.
What do you mean? We're great.
Well, I don't think that you're going to want to match up against guys that are college age that are still playing baseball, but I could
look at me. Have you looked at me?
I have, and this is why I don't like the matchup.
I don't know, because I haven't played wiffle ball, and if it's just impossible to hit these pitchers, I don't know how it all works. But I feel like
it's impossible to hit Lawa.
Okay, we're a pretty athletic trio here. I feel like we should do all right.
All right.
Charlie, we're going to win. We're going to hold up the heart. But the problem is you batches are going to leave.
I'll be there.
Thank you. Doug's got to go anchor.
Well, I thought the thing started at 10:30 or 11. I thought, well, I can spend 4 or 5 hours there. That should do it. But now we'll find out we don't play till 1:30.
Yeah.
Can we have an earlier game? Can we
change? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do the sportscast live from Francis Park?
You really should.
Who would put it together back at Channel 4?
I'll do it. I'll come out of retirement. When I come back like Jordan, wearing the 4-5, it ain't to play games with you. It's to aim at you. Okay. Probably maim you.
All right.
Just do this. Okay. Cardinals play Mariners. Is it a late game on Saturday?
I don't know.
A live shot. Say, hey, Cardinals taking on the Mariners later tonight. Let's talk about this wiffle ball tournament. You bring Tim and I. Yep. I can't be on your
non-compete.
Network. Yeah. But you can bring Tim in, and you can do a little story.
Just talk it over.
Do live guests.
Well, Doug, thanks for being here. We're really happy to have you here. It's fun to be back on KMOV. It's fun to work with you again on television. No, you're right. This is a great day, and we're raising money and having a good time. And we're just out here playing wiffle ball, and it's great. It's older guys getting to be kids once again here in South St. Louis.
All right, that'll do it. Back to you, Steve.
I have a couple questions about wiffle ball, though. Can I wear just like can you be out there with no shoes on? Because it's in the grass, right?
Are you Shakira?
No, I'm just saying I'm gonna be drinking the whole time.
Why would you have no shoes on?
Aren't we just kind of running around the grass?
Well, yeah.
Hitting the old ball.
Yeah.
Should I wear athletic shorts?
You wear shoes when you played at Bradley?
Well, it's different. This is wiffle ball.
Run around on grass there at Bradley, didn't you?
Yeah, you had cleats. Are you gonna wear cleats to the wiffle ball tournament, Doug?
Some will. Some will.
Yeah, actually, unfortunately, Doug is correct.
Well, I plan on drinking the entire time. That's my main goal.
I think a rubberized cleat's not a bad thing to do, because sometimes when you run on grass, you tend to fall.
But that's my point, because I feel like it's either better to have barefoot or obviously the cleat. I'm not going to wear cleats. But if you wear tennis shoes on the grass, sometimes you slip even more.
There's not much running going on.
We're going to be chasing down balls in the outfield.
Yeah, but that's just a few steps. It's not like you're sprinting 90 feet to get the...
You got
to
think about people's gum, dog poop, razor blades, needles.
Come on, that's not out there.
Well, I'm...
You think we're running around through razor blades and needles?
I'm saying the potential is always there, Doug.
Roaches.
Well, we'll look for that before the game.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, pop cans, soda cans with sharp edges.
You think we're playing in a prison yard?
Well, no, I'm just saying that things tend to happen. Dog poop and gum are probably the most likely, and those two would be terrible barefoot.
Which is worse?
When dog poop? What?
Dog poop or gum? What you'd rather step in?
I think gum might be worse if it really sticks to you and it's hard to get out.
Yeah, maybe.
Dog poop's easier to clean, you know, just clean off.
Mm-hmm. I'm into hot scat play.
So can I wear, like, just basketball shorts?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Right. That's what people wear.
I wear all black everything.
Okay. Sure you do. You're the Gary Player of wiffle ball.
I am. Mm-hmm. South Africa, South City. Yep. Tam Avenue on Saturday. Come on by. The water is warm. Audio Express. A lot of people say, you know, I my car doesn't have HD radio. Well, you can take care of that right quick at Audio Express. I don't even have 920 programmed into me radio.
How is that even possible?
105.7 HD2. You can get that and get it inexpensively at Audio Express. Plus, if you're feeling trapped by your factory car stereo system, if you're tired of compromising quality sound and features all because you assumed factory systems couldn't be made to sound better, don't feel bad. You're not alone. Audio Express can take care of it all for you. Replace your factory speakers with any great-sounding Alpine speaker and get a second set for half price. And hands-free Bluetooth to your car stereo for as little as $39. You can podcast like the Dickens, like nobody's business. It's Audio Express. You know what we got now?
Mm-mm.
Email of the day.
Right.
Two tickets to St. Louis FC against the Portland Timbers. Two. Now, Doug has a problem with the team's name. I'm just reading topics.
Okay.
Morning, boys. I was listening to the Timberfake segment yesterday as I was watering my hydrangeas.
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 Thank you. Hashtag blessed. When I heard something amazing, let me attempt to transcribe it for you. From Chuck. How old are you? 30, 35? The money man. No. Charlie. So you're not between the ages of 30 and 35? Nah, man. Not even close. Charlie, so how old are you? Money Man, Scottie Pippen. So to summarize, Timberfake may not be aware that the number 33 is between 30 and 35.
Yeah, a little
man. Viva La Money Man. Viva Sex Lewis. Toodles, Jamie Moyer's Fancy Four. Doug, these Sex Lewis shirts we are selling, they're going to be huge.
Jamie Moyer's Fancy Four.
All the kids will be wearing them to skew.
You think so? I don't think the teachers will allow it.
TMA, Sex Baby versus Brawler Adish. OMG, I can see it now. The dome is filled with 80,000 frothing fans. The lights dim and Linger by the Cranberry starts to echo into the darkness. Ariana Huffington walks the Brawler down to the ring as the Brawler passes out dollar bills and Planned Parenthood pamphlets. Then the sex show begins. Standing next to the Lime waif is none other than Wilmer Valderrama. Is it Wilmer Valderrama? Wilmer Valderrama?
I don't know.
I feel like the W and the V sometimes do things.
Yeah, they do, especially in like Germany and Poland around in that way.
I don't think that's where he's from, though. The new number one play baby in the official rankings. They walk up to a rap version of the national anthem sung by St. Louis rapper Tac Trac. As the cocktail of meth, baby laxative, and bath salts swirl in the bloodstream of the South City orphan, he takes one more sip of sexy coffee before entering the squared circle. I'm like the sex show, was all he could mutter as he fell to the floor. His poor little heart could take no more.
Mm.
The Brawler wins by default. I kiss Doug, and the next wiffle ball tournament is the Sex Baby Memorial. We can dream, can't we? It comes from Cucky the Wiffle Boy.
Cucky the Wiffle Boy.
Cucky.
What if Doug was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a twinker on the Metro bus trying to make his way home. And yeah, Doug is great. Yeah, Doug is good. What is Doug? Was Chippity ba ba ba.
Someone took the time to write that.
It's a good song, though.
Joan Osborne, was that 91?
What if God was one of us?
I kind of feel like my girlfriend at the time kind of looked like her. Kind of.
Just a slug like one of us.
All right, who is that, Tim?
Joan Osborne. It was like 91 or 92.
Joan Osborne.
Morning. I was wondering if you naughty boys sleuths were able to get those sweaty meat paws on the latest issue of Landing Strip Fashions. Contains some wonderful op-ed pieces that divulge some great info on how to keep that landing strip light and taut for the humid summer months, all while simultaneously keeping it naughty to attract the attention of the local trannies. Also featured is a wonderful new product that helps twinks help new product review that helps twinks rid their landies of rogue bear crust. Think about it, Timmy Walters.
Don't say rogue bear crust. Timmy Walters. Walters.
Morning, guys. Similar how Tarasenko got voted onto the cover of NHL 17, there's a new poll out there for who should grace the cover of Boy Shorts 17. Doug is in the lead, of course, but Ryan Reynolds and Steve Templeton aren't trailing by much. Use hashtag ThatDougButt17 to vote. Thanks, Crestwood Coyote.
Yeah, see, he's wild.
But you know, you played...
with his father. Yeah, I played lots of Indian ball with him. Crestwood Coyote.
Can you say Indian ball?
Indian ball.
Native American ball.
No, it's Indian ball.
You all right?
Ernie Hayes. Guys, just in case Enos does bring a soccer team here, I'd like to prepare everyone for their first ever soccer game. Here are my Real Cronky FC rules. No. Is that going to be the name of the team?
Yeah, I hope not. Real Cronky. Ah, I would not go to a game. I would not set foot in the stadium if the team was named Real Cronky.
You wouldn't buy a shirt?
No.
FC rule number one, when the floodplain isn't built on actually floods, it actually floods. Shh, don't be I told you so guy. There will be thousands. FC rule two, when a goal is scored, let's help our FC by making some noise. I have to tell you this because for every other sporting event you've ever been to, people generally sit quietly in their seats when something good happens. FC rule number three, every time Kroenke walks onto the pitch, I want to hear you yell, "Rad!" Number four, leading up to every free kick, let's slow clap it out. Literally, no other fans for any other team in any other sport have ever effing slow clapped for anything. This really pisses me off. Sorry I'm getting off track here and breaking the fourth wall, but this Rams rule is especially ignorant. Anyway, enjoy the matches, boys. Real Matt, who bowls in Bundesliga.
Real Matt, who bowls in Bundesliga.
Do you like La Liga or Bundesliga?
Bundesliga. I like them both, really.
Tim, as your 40th birthday approaches, I'd like to see all of your wildest dreams come true. Therefore, I have getting ready to put together a GoFundMe account to raise enough money to rent out Rosinante as a shagging wagon for a week-long orgy. I've already lined up a list of local celebs to take part. To your delight, the list includes, but is not limited to, the Dirt Cheap Chicken, Julian Tavares, the gorilla from the Schweigengel commercials. Ooh, I've always kind of wanted.
Yeah, those are good commercials.
And, of course, Douglas Elvin Vaughn, Freeman Bosley Jr., Becky the Queen of Carpet, and Wanda the Princess of Tile. I also will personally be in attendance and can't wait to cuckold the Princess of Tile while I shag the Queen of Carpet on one of those flying rugs. Don't come a-knockin' if Rosinante's a-rockin'. Peace, the St. Charles Socrates.
Mm. St. Charles Socrates.
Socrates.
Hey, dumbass, I'm sending in an email. Per Timberfake, this is the best way to get it read. Morning, Bottoms, I have a question for Doug. Hey, Boo, I got myself a serious situation brewing here. Early this morn, I ate me a couple of them taquitos from QT that were behind the bar that said, still cooking behind this bar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me tum-tums grumbling and rumbling. To make matters worse, I'm stuck in traffic on I-70, and I'm worried that I may, indeed, have to use the restroom. Use some words that I can't use.
Okay, well then don't.
In this situation, would it be all right for me to drop trow in me car? Help, burning drip, mushroom tip. Doug?
You'd have to have some kind of container. I mean, if you're in a true emergency situation, then it becomes Texas rules. But hopefully you'll have some sort of container to collect what the issue is.
The droppings.
The droppings. Yes, thank you. The droppings. Yes, it's perfectly reasonable to do that if it's an emergency situation.
What if while he is perched over the receptacle to catch the droppings, he breaks out a newspaper or his iPad?
Then that would, by definition, make it a recreation.
Even if he's on the shoulder of I-70 near Lucas and Hunt.
If he had time to grab a newspaper, it becomes a recreation.
Why, these rules are...
Yeah, I think I've been clear on that.
It's like, what's a touchdown and what's not?
It's like the catch rule.
Yep. Calvin Johnson. Des Bryant. Sup, Cardinals sweeping, Timber Sex Lewis, Tony moaning, takes hot, music jamming, wiffle ball playing, barbecue smoking, souse dripping, Charlie sipping, McKernan nipping, Doug limping, plow cup said, girl said, horny me to a T, blessings to you, theirs, mine, and Ray Langford. Get it, got it, flock it, Flocky the Smurf.
Flocky the Smurf.
And that's what we have for the email day. Show me what you got, little mama.
Well, there were a couple good ones. I liked St. Charles Socrates and Joan Osborne, but I'm going to vote for a fella by the name of Real Matt, who bowls at Bundesliga.
I didn't really write any down.
What's your problem, baby?
No, I was trying to listen and all that. I like the song one, the Joan Osborne song. I'll just do one different so that Tim can decide. I like the Bundesliga
but
one
But I'm going
well.
With Cucky the Wiffle Boy, so that means it goes to the speaker of the house, the Plow Mariner.
Dougie, me and you are on the same page. I like Matt.
Oh,
Bundesliga.
Good. Thank you there.
If you bowl at Hanks, you have the Plow Cubs vote.
Yeah, it's his friend.
The Plow off day.
Matt has won. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, has won. Is he now leading? Is he tied for the lead? Tied for first? Bah?
He is now tied. Cookie the Dwarf, 4 wins apiece in June.
You know you're about to hear the Sea Monster's voice when you hear the microphone creak like the opening of the Thriller video. Frank's up next. He does a real show. It's called the Hollywood Casino Press Box, and this is the Lion's Choice famous roast beef handoff to Frank's real show. I like the roast beef sandwiches with extra seasoning, and then I get the chipotle sauce, and then I dip it in there, and I, I'm dipping in a sandwich. Souses, vixens, fries.
Yeah.
Lion's Choice, the sponsor of the handoff to Frank, who sponsors Hollywood Casino Press Box. Peyton, who's not operating the board. I haven't met you, sir. Matt? Another Matt.
Who bowls at Bundesliga?
Matt who bowls at our board?
That's him?
I've met Matt who bowls at Hanks. He's a great American.
How about the one who bowls at Bundesliga?
Same guy, I think.
Yeah, then I've been hooded.
For Matt, for Peyton, for the Plowhawk, for our intern Nolan Ryan, for my brother Kevin, for the Sea Monster, for Charlie Marlowe, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn. Don't you ever think it's a lot of people to put this thing together?
Really?
For what you get?
Takes a village.
Thank you. I'm Timothy Michael McKernan, and this has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick Juicy Studios.